Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Quinn talks at 12:30. Also, Marcus Mariota is going to take the quarterback press conference today, not Jaden Daniels. That certainly means that Mariota is going to practice today. It doesn't mean definitively that he will start on Sunday. There are still two more practice days left in the week. Joining us right now from Yahoo Sports, Frank Schwab. Love having Frank on to talk NFL at Yahoo Schwab on X on Twitter. You know, I hate the summer conversations and preseason games. It's just so irrelevant most of the time. And then we're 2 weeks into the season and everybody's got, you know, hardcore definitive opinions, and it's only 2 weeks into the season, but at least we've seen two real games. And last Thursday night, it was a beatdown. The score was not reflective of how good Green Bay was and how dominant they were. And I noticed in your power rankings, you moved Green Bay to the number one team in the league. It's only 2 weeks. How comfortable are you having them having them at number one now? And how sustainable do you think it is?
You know, it's an interesting way to put it, because not too comfortable, because I still have a ton of respect for the Bills and the Eagles, but I don't think this Packers team's going anywhere either. And I just look at, you know, and this, you can't just do this, or else we would have all had the Saints at number one after 2 weeks last year. But you look at the first 2 weeks, and there's no team that's looked better than the Green Bay Packers. You just look at who they beat. And not only who they beat, but how those teams have done not playing the Packers. Look, the Commanders looked fine in week one, not great, but they put away the Giants pretty easily, and Giants should have beat the Cowboys, right? And then you look at the Lions. We're all freaking out about the Lions after week one. Oh, my goodness, they can't run the ball. They can't move the ball. They didn't score a touchdown. And then they throw up 52 on the Bears. The only takeaway to me is those Packers are that good. I mean, they look fantastic. Their defense looks like maybe the best in the league, or top three at least. I mean, and, you know, when you absolutely positively shut down the number one scoring offense from last year and the number five scoring offense from last year, that's going to turn some heads. I don't take anything from that Commanders performance and downgrade them. I don't look at, oh, the Commanders are in trouble. No, not at all. I just think, hey, you're going to go up against the Green Bay Packers this season, you're going to look bad. And the Commanders did. But I think that's going to be the case for most of the teams Green Bay plays.
Yeah, Frank, I was talking about this earlier in the show and mentioned it over the summer, that I thought the NFC last year, we didn't know it going into the season, but it ended up being incredibly deep. I mean, 11-6 was the seventh seed, the Packers. 10-7 didn't make it with the Seahawks last year. But now through 2 weeks, and again, it's early, but it's like the heavyweights, other than Buffalo and Baltimore, Philly and Green Bay may be the two biggest and baddest teams in the league. I think the Rams are very close. I think Tampa is a team to watch. San Francisco, if they stay healthy, like the NFC is just loaded with potential heavyweight teams. Do you see it the same way through 2 weeks?
Yeah, you could see a shift. And, you know, you started to see it last year. Look, the Lions went 15-2. Commanders took, obviously, a massive step up. The Rams were playing really well by the end of the season. The Eagles obviously blew out the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So you could see that. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. There's going to be good teams in the NFC who don't make the playoffs, just because you like Seattle last year. You finished 10 wins, and it's like, well, okay, well, everybody else has 11. It's just There's a lot of good talent in the NFC now, and it's not all necessarily quarterback driven either. I think the quarterbacks are still in the AFC, although that takes a hit without Joe Burrow. But it's just the way these teams have been built. You look at, I mean, the Packers are just a really deep team. The Rams rebuilt their defense on the fly. The Eagles have the deepest roster in the NFL. Yeah, stuff like that. You look and you say, yeah, the NFC, it looked before last season like the AFC was far, far superior. I don't think that's the case anymore. Like you said, the Ravens, Bills, they're great. Like, they're very fantastic teams. The Chargers might be a really, really good team. I haven't had the Chiefs dropping off the planet either. They're going to be there by the end of the year. But you look at the NFC, and it is really, really deep and good.
Give me a couple of teams that you're really high on that you didn't expect to be high on through 2 weeks.
You know, I mean, you can't not say the Colts, right?
Like, right.
But there was part of me that said, I think I picked the wrong team in the AFC South. I said the Jaguars. But there was part of me that said, look, the Colts were 8-9 last year with the 31st best passer rating in the NFL. What if they get that to 20th with Daniel Jones? And it looks so far like it's going to be well beyond 20th. It's really impressive what they've been able to do. They just look like a complete team. I think Steichen is a good coach, and he's showing it. I mean, they're getting the most out of that team. So I guess I have to say the Colts, they got to lead that off. I was high on the Buccaneers coming into the season. They were actually my Super Bowl pick out of the NFC, so I feel pretty good about them going on the road and beating Atlanta and Houston while they're dealing with a lot of injuries. I think they're going to get healthier. So I think a team off radar right now that I think can make a big jump up is the Seahawks, actually. I'm really impressed with their defense so far. Their offense wasn't good in week one, but it was good in week two against Pittsburgh on the road to Pittsburgh in an early start game, which is typically a tough deal for West Coast teams. I'm just saying, keep my eye on Seattle. Like, the 49ers dealing with their injuries. Rams are very good. I'm not discounting them at all. I think Arizona's kind of a paper champion at 2-0. But the Seahawks, to me, are the team. If I had to say one team that, you know, the record isn't that great because they lost week one, but the team that I'm keeping my eye on is the Seattle Seahawks.
Where should fans be panicking after 2 weeks, if anywhere?
I think Houston for sure. I mean, man, and I wrote about it this morning, just saying what everybody, I've heard for 2 days now how the Bengals are letting down Joe Burrow, and organizationally, I think a lot of that is really moving the goalposts on the Bengals, because everybody all offseason was like, you got to re-sign T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. And then it was, well, you got to rebuild the defense. And now all of a sudden we get the fall and everybody's like, how dare you not build up the offensive line? Well, it's a salary cap league. You can't do everything. But the real problem, Houston has a far worse offensive line than the Bengals. Houston has far worse receivers than the Bengals. And Houston has a worse running back room than the Bengals. What they're doing to C.J. Stroud is criminal. Like, they are letting him down completely. And C.J.'s not playing well, but I don't even put that at his feet. What can you do when your organization just does nothing to help you? So I think Houston's in real, real trouble. And then the Bears, everybody had high hopes for them. And they still might get there on offense, but their defense has given up 73 points in the last five quarters of football. And we saw what J.J. McCarthy did in week two. To allow him to come back on you in the fourth quarter of week one wasn't good. It doesn't look good in retrospect. So I think those teams should be definitely in panic mode already. There's other teams, but we knew the Dolphins were going to be bad. We knew, you know, the Cowboys weren't going to be great, I guess. So, teams like that are already up against it. But, yeah, I think Houston just jumps out to me as a team that, they just did a very, very poor job building that roster in the offseason.
I mean, that offensive line was bad last year, and then they traded Tunsil here. But I mentioned something earlier about that team, because they could have won both games, you know, against the Rams and the Bucks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, tell me who I'm forgetting here, that there is a better pair of edge rushers on the same team than Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. That defense is nasty.
It's really, really good. I mean, Benito and Cooper in Denver, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Pittsburgh has a couple guys, but I mean, even McGuire is taking a step up in Cleveland to go with Garrett. But you're right, like, Houston's got the defense, and they have the franchise quarterback. It's just, other than Nico Collins on that offense, every other guy playing on that offense is below average, and I think far below average, to be honest with you. It's just, they have the 32nd best offensive line of football. I don't even think it's debatable. There are receivers other than Nico Collins, and even Nico's struggling because I think defenses are just like, nobody else can beat us. None of their other receivers have more than 77 yards this season. Their running game has produced, I believe, 130 yards other than C.J. Stroud's scrambles. Like, it is just a mess in Houston right now. But the defense, you're right, the defense is fantastic.
Talking to Frank Schwab from Yahoo, he does have Green Bay as the number one team in his latest power rankings. He's got Washington at 13, down from 11. So you said that there's no reason to be concerned. Green Bay's that good. I tend to agree with you. It's a short week game, too. But what is your, you know, current, like, where were you 2 weeks ago on Washington, and where are you now?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I hate this because last summer there were receipts. I was saying I think the Commanders can be a playoff team, and they made me look really smart, right? Like they were fantastic. I took my cap to them. So, but I felt bad, like the WWE heel turn, chair to the back to the Commanders this summer. I was saying this team's going to regress, like the way the Commanders won, and it was awesome season. It was so fun, and the fans deserved it. But the Hail Marys, the overtime wins, beating the Eagles with 7 seconds left. All these things were just not going to happen again. Not to mention, making it 87% of the time on fourth down or whatever it was. It was bound to come back to earth a little bit. So I didn't expect the Commanders to be this great team again. I didn't expect them to win 12 games again, other than, hey, Jaden Daniels might just be that good that he carries his franchise there. But I'm kind of there with them. I think they're not a playoff team, to be honest with you, unless Jaden is just incredible all season. And you know, the injury makes it tougher. Like, he's going to be playing with this all season. Like, guys don't get healthier as the NFL season goes on. So, yeah, I'm kind of in the middle with the Commanders. I think week to week, they're a tough out because they do have talented players and a great, great quarterback. But I just think as a whole, we talked, you know, a couple minutes ago about how good the NFC is, and it's going to be tough for the Commanders to make the playoffs in the NFC, just if nothing else, just because of the sheer volume of teams that are playoff quality.
Back to Indy for a moment. Daniel Jones, I mean, it's, you know, we've done this with, you know, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. It's like Geno Smith, you can never really count these guys out. I mean, quarterbacks, you know, careers sometimes don't even start to mature until they're post 30 years old. But right. Is he the reason for this? I think they've got a good roster, but tell me about Daniel Jones and Shane Steichen together. Is this going to be Daniel Jones from the Brian Daboll year? A few years back.
Yeah, and it's funny because Daniel Jones wasn't even that great that year, to be honest. Go back and look.
As a runner, he was.
Yeah. He wasn't that way, but as a passer, he's just never been that. So that I'll tell you this. I went into week two saying, all right, Daniel Jones did a week one against the Dolphins, who they can't stop a nosebleed at this point. Like, whatever. Like, I'm not that impressed. Let's see him do it against the Broncos. Well, then he did. He was 316 yards, I believe, passing against what I think is one of the top five defenses in the NFL. So, I don't know. I guess you do that against the Broncos back-to-back weeks, playing really, really well. You got to say he's turned a corner. And the interesting part is going to be, what kind of contract does he get after the year if this continues? Is he going to get another massive deal? Like, they can't let him. He's, I don't remember, this is 1 year. They can't turn back to Anthony Richardson after this. Like, that's going to be fascinating. But I don't think it's going to continue like this for Daniel Jones all season. But I think they made the right choice. Like, I think you have to tip your cap to Shane Steichen. And say, I was one of those saying, like, hey, you got to see it through with Anthony Richardson. He's at the upside, blah, blah, blah. And look what's happened. Like, they're all saying, well, the upside is actually Daniel Jones. Like, I didn't expect that coming, but it's another lesson that we treat quarterbacks like they have to develop in a microwave. They're given no time to develop. If you're not good by the middle of your second year, I mean, heck, people are already dumping on J.J. McCarthy after two games. Like, sometimes it just takes time in the NFL. And I'm not saying Daniel Jones is going to be this top five quarterback the rest of his career, but hey, you know, Baker Mayfield, Geno, Darnold, we've seen it before. Maybe it's happening again.
Yeah, I heard somebody say, or maybe I read it earlier this morning, that if Caleb Williams' first two games were the two games from this year with his new coach, Ben Johnson, we'd actually be a lot more positive, but we have all this other information that brings the opinion down a little bit. All right, let's finish up with this. Where are you on the tush push?
I think it's so dumb that we've gone, like, there were maybe some false starts against the Chiefs. So instead of saying they should call the false starts, we just say they should get rid of the tush push. What? That's just so nonsensical. That doesn't make any sense.
That's me.
Talking about, I guess if you wanted it gone, like, that's fine. Like, you could stick with that. But I don't see why. Call false starts. That's the problem with when you miss false start penalties. The problem is call the false start penalties.
Why aren't they calling it? Why isn't the play being legislated the correct way?
I just think, I mean, heck, go back to Bart Starr's quarterback sneak in the ice bowl 70 years ago or however long that was. There was a false start on that play. It is hard. It is very hard. And we can slow things down frame by frame. We can say, oh, look, there was a good false start penalty. In real time, it's not that easy to see. And the Chiefs of all teams have been kings of kind of their tackles moving before the snap. So I don't know if I want to hear too many complaints from them. But I've always said that the tush push, the one argument against the tush push is aesthetically, it's not that pleasing. That's the same reason we got rid of the shift in baseball. It's the same reason we got rid of the neutral zone trap in hockey, where you just say, look, there's nothing wrong with what you've done, but you've done it so well, you've made the game unwatchable. And the tush push is not fun to watch. And it's just, so if you want to make an argument that way, that's fine. This stuff about, oh, guys could get injured. Well, they haven't. So what are we talking? Are we going to get rid of slant routes? I've seen guys get injured on slant routes. Like, that's nonsensical to me. I just think the only argument for it is aesthetically, you've just perfected this so well that it's just making the game not really fun to watch. And there have been other rule changes in other sports and even the NFL to just say the watchability of football, it matters in this point. And that's why we need to get rid of it, but not because of false start penalties. Call false start.
I'm with you. Like, that isn't the reason that I want it. I want it to be legislated if they're going to keep it. But for me, it's the only play that has a foregone conclusion. There's no drama. Right. It's not aesthetically pleasing. Right. I comped it to, and it's not apples to apples, you know, a pitcher holding a runner on first with seven throws over there. They got rid of that too. It doesn't slow the game down literally, but it does sort of psychologically as you're watching it. And I just, you know, to me, I think it is going to be gone. I can't imagine that they don't get the votes for it next offseason. What do you think?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, nobody would push for it, but I view it as sour grapes. I really do. It's like, we can't stop this place, so we need to vote
against it. So do Philadelphia fans.
Okay. It's like, you know what? What's going to happen next year? It's going to be like, okay, we can't stop off tackle runs by Derrick Henry, so let's vote against it. Like, at some point, like, I don't think that competitively is fair, but just to say we can't stop this, so we got to vote against it. But the one argument is, yes, it is really kind of dull to watch. Like, it is like,
yeah,
all right,
well, it's the only play that you have there where there's no drama at all.
I remember the Super Bowl when they were tackled at the 1 yard line, when the replay said he was got down to 1 yard line. All 118 million people watching or whatever knew exactly what was going to happen on the next play. And that you're right. That's not fun football.
Frank, thanks. Really appreciate it. Love having you on the show. Hope you're well.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Frank Schwab, everybody, at Yahoo Schwab on X and on Twitter. Window Nation's offering their most popular offer of the year. Buy two windows, get two free, with the option of paying nothing for 2 years. So no money down, no payments, and no interest charge until the year 2027. If you've been thinking about new windows because your windows are older, they're inefficient, you're paying too much for heating bills in the winter and air conditioning bills in the summer, now is the time to act. It's a perfect time of the year, September is, to get top quality, energy efficient windows from a trusted company, all at a reasonable price. Window Nation's got over 45,000 five-star reviews. They've got a 96% customer satisfaction rating. Their windows come with a lifetime warranty, and they were recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window installation companies. You can trust Window Nation for high-quality, affordable windows with outstanding customer service. Call them today for a fast, free estimate at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. The sale ends September 30th. Buy two, get two free. Pay nothing until the year 2027. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.